back to the Rare Disorder Podcast. I'm your host, Shivani, and this is my second episode of my Meet a Fighter series. Today, I'm going to be addressing the rare condition, narcolepsy. There are two subdivisions of this rare condition, type 1 and type 2, in other words, with cataplexy and without cataplexy. So, how rare is this condition? 1 in 2,000 people have this condition. However, the true frequency is unknown, as this condition remains undiagnosed in many individuals today. Narcolepsy is a neurological sleep disorder characterized by chronic, excessive attacks of drowsiness during the day, which are commonly shortened as excessive daytime sleepiness, or EDS. These attacks can last anywhere from a few seconds to a couple minutes, and they can also lead to sleep patterns being disrupted during the night. Over time, more research has been done, and it is believed that it may be an autoimmune condition, which usually begins in adolescence. So, what are some symptoms of narcolepsy? Some symptoms include excessive daytime sleepiness, periods of drowsiness, lack of energy, tiredness or inability to sleep, disruption of nighttime sleeping patterns, sudden loss of voluntary muscle tone. However, this symptom only occurs in those with type 1. Hallucinations, memory problems, and lastly, difficulty concentrating. What are the causes of this rare condition? For type 1 narcolepsy, the cause is low levels of hypocretin, which is a specific brain chemical that plays a role in regulating sleep. There are also changes in a T-cell receptor gene. In addition, causes are associated with the HLA complex on the human chromosome, and the HLA and variant T-cell interact to cause destruction of brain cells that produce the chemical hypocretin. The cause of type 2 narcolepsy remains unknown. So, how is this condition diagnosed? Narcolepsy is usually diagnosed through a clinical evaluation. A person with narcolepsy usually has low levels of hypocretin in their cerebrospinal fluid. In addition, specialized sleep studies are conducted with two main tests. The first is PSG, overnight polysomnogram, followed by a multiple sleep latency test, MSLT. PSG measures brainwave changes, muscle tone, heart rate, and more while you are sleeping. MSLT measures how quickly an individual falls asleep. Some related disorders to narcolepsy include idiopathic hypersomnia, sleep apnea, and Klein-Levin syndrome. So, are there any therapies for this condition? It really depends on the individual and their symptoms. Some medications such as modafinil is given to individuals with EDS, and there are also other drugs too, which work by stimulating the CNS. However, there's continued research going on, and some ongoing studies include gene therapy, cell transplantation, and many more. Today, I'm so excited to have Tara here with me, who is a battler of this rare condition. Welcome, Tara. Today, I'm going to ask you a couple questions so our audience can get to know you and about your rare condition. So first, would you be able to talk about an average day in your life?
Yeah, so I have narcolepsy type 2, and my days are pretty off and on. It seems like I suffer from excessive daytime sleepiness a lot, and so some days I could be really tired, and some days I could have energy. Mm-hmm. And so I never can, prepare for it, because it just happens, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I do take medication that helps me stay awake, and then helps me sleep, so I do have to take those. And then I just have to kind of take it day by day, which can be kind of hard because I can't plan a lot of things.
Yeah. Is there anything you feel that other people should know about your disorder?
I think that a lot of people think that narcolepsy is just sleepiness, or you can just fall asleep whenever. And that's definitely not the case, but it's so much more. Like, it's excessive daytime sleepiness, it's sleep paralysis, hallucinations, etc. And, like, it's, like, we can't just sleep whenever we want. Like, we have to sleep, basically, to function. And so, and everyone's different, so, and there's two different types. I just feel like a lot of people think that if we slept more or went to bed earlier, then we would be able to fix it. And, like, a lot of people have asked me, like, since you're on medications, doesn't that mean you're better? Or, like, you're on medications, so won't you be able to go off of those sometime soon? And it's just, like, it doesn't take our symptoms away. It just kind of helps them be a little less there.
All right, so how are you coping with narcolepsy?
So, I mean, it's kind of hard to deal with, especially if you don't have a very good support system in person. And I have found a lot of, like, support groups and support people online, which has helped tremendously. And I do my own research to find out more information about narcolepsy, and the group of people I've found, they just, like, we have group chats, so I can always talk to them, and they seem to get it, and they've just been so helpful.
Yeah, I'm so happy you have that support system. I know that, like, online support groups can be really helpful, and especially since the rare disorder community on Instagram is so large. I feel like that can be really helpful for you and other people with similar conditions.
Online is just huge for me, just because I don't have a huge in-person support system.
All right, so have you ever encountered a major struggle with your condition, and how did you overcome it?
I mean, I think there's been quite a few major struggles, but I think the biggest one is, like, when I was in high school and I wasn't diagnosed, because I've only been diagnosed for 2 years, and I had symptoms since I was 2 years old and didn't get diagnosed until I was 22. And I just, growing up, I always felt like something was off. But in high school, I tried every excuse in the book to stay home because I was so tired. And a lot of people were like, oh, you're just faking it, or you're lazy and stuff like that. And that was really hard to deal with. Like, I made myself think that it was just in my head. And it really wasn't. And it was hard to finish high school and all that. But I did. And I think overcoming that, like, it took a long time, and just, like, again, not having the in-person support system or having the diagnosis at the time, it was really hard, and having the diagnosis now has been really helpful, and I still get some of those comments, but it definitely helps having an actual diagnosis.
Yeah, I'm so happy you're doing so much better now, and that you got past high school. And then I just wanted to ask, I know you're part of, like, these support groups, and also you have an Instagram for Instagram, and you're part of the rare community. So are there any initiatives you take to raise awareness for this condition?
So I do post a lot on my own social media, like Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And I also write articles for narcolepsy for this company called Health Union. And I write about my, like, experiences and stuff like that. And then I also, I don't know if you've heard of Project Sleep, but I am going to be doing Rising Voices of Narcolepsy this summer. And hopefully that will, like, make it so I can get my story out there even more.
Yeah, that's really great that you're, like, really increasing awareness and doing all this advocacy work. Like, I'm sure that helps other people who are battling the same condition. All right, and then I just wanted to ask if there are, like, any resources you would like to share that you have come across to help other people who may be battling the same disorder.
So there's two organizations that have been really helpful for me, which is Project Sleep and Wake Up Narcolepsy. Mm-hmm. Wake Up Narcolepsy has the online support groups, and they meet, most of them meet weekly, and they're going to be adding even more groups. So, like, it's going to be pretty huge. And those have just been a lifesaver for me. And then, like, other Facebook support groups and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a book I read called Wide Awake and Dreaming by Julie Fligar. And I, like, learned so much about myself and my condition
mm-hmm.
just reading that. And I didn't know a lot of that stuff until I read that book, so that was so helpful.
Thank you so much for sharing these resources, and I just wanted to thank you for joining me today on the Rare Disorder podcast and really helping me raise awareness throughout the community and advocate for these rare conditions that a lot of people may not know about because they're definitely not our everyday ones. So thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.